Okay, so today we're doing a deep dive into something that's pretty important, I think, to all of us, and that's value-based healthcare.
Yeah, it's a really hot topic.
It is, yeah.
And it's actually changing like a lot of the healthcare landscape as we speak.
Right, and you know, we all have to interact with the healthcare
Or at
system
some point, yeah.
at some point in our lives, so it's good to know like kind of what's going on behind the scenes and, you know, how this is going to affect our care in the future potentially.
Yeah, absolutely.
So value-based healthcare. I mean, I guess like just at the highest level, it's trying to incentivize quality over quantity, right? Like
Yeah.
instead of paying doctors for every single thing they do, it's more like, are they keeping people healthy? You know, how are the outcomes?
It's kind of, yeah, like moving away from this fee-for-service model, which has been kind of the traditional way of doing
Right,
things.
which has its own issues, obviously.
Yeah, it definitely has its own issues. So, yeah, it's really about trying to shift to, you know, paying for quality, for outcomes, and you know, overall value.
I mean, that makes sense in theory.
Totally. Yeah.
But, you know, the healthcare system is massive and complicated.
Yes.
So, you know, how is this being implemented, I guess? Like, how does this actually work in practice?
Yeah, so there are, I mean, from what we've read, there are a few different approaches that people are using, and one is called value-based purchasing,
Okay.
or VBP for short.
Okay.
And this is where like providers are basically held accountable for, you know, the cost and the quality of the care that they're delivering. So for example, under the Hospital Readmissions Reduction Program, like hospitals actually face financial penalties if patients are readmitted, you know, within 30 days for certain conditions.
Oh wow. Okay, so it's like they're being penalized if they didn't quite take care of the issue the first time.
Yeah, it's like incentivizing them to really like, you know, get it right the first time
Right.
and make sure that the patient's, you know, actually you know, receiving the care that they need to stay healthy.
And not just, you know, getting them out the door quickly so they can bill for another visit.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Okay, so that's one approach. I've also heard about these things called value-based contracts.
Yeah.
Is that part of this?
Yeah, so value-based contracts, or you know, sometimes they're called VBCs.
Okay.
They're kind of like, imagine like a contract between, let's say, a health insurer and a hospital system. But instead of just like the insurer reimbursing for every service that the hospital provides, the payments are actually tied to like achieving certain quality goals.
So it's not just like a per visit kind of thing. It's like, are you meeting these I guess quality standards.
Exactly. Yeah. Are you know, improving patient satisfaction scores, or are you reducing hospital-acquired infections, things like that? So it's really trying to push everyone to think more holistically about, you know, the overall quality and outcomes of the care.
It seems like it would require a lot more communication
Oh yeah, absolutely.
between the insurer and the hospital system.
Yeah, a lot more collaboration. Yeah,
Right.
instead of just like a, you know, transactional kind of relationship.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. So that's value-based purchasing and value-based contracts.
Right.
And then the other one that you know, we hear about sometimes are ACOs, accountable care organizations. Like what is that exactly?
Yeah, so ACOs, you know, they always sound kind of mysterious. Like
Right.
what are they? So basically, think of it as like a team of healthcare professionals.
Okay.
So this would be like your doctors, nurses, specialists, you know, whoever.
All working
They're
together.
all working together
Can
to
you correct?
coordinate care for like a defined group of patients.
No, interesting.
So they're really encouraged to be proactive, you know, focus on prevention, keeping people healthy, you know, to avoid, you know, unnecessary costs down the line.
So, like, let's say someone with diabetes is part of an ACO.
Yeah.
Would they, like, their whole care team would be under this umbrella?
Exactly. Yeah. So you would have, you know, their primary care physician, their endocrinologist, maybe a nutritionist, you know, maybe even a mental health professional,
Wow.
all part of this coordinated team working together to keep that patient healthy.
So that they're not getting like, you know, conflicting advice or you know, things aren't falling through the cracks.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it's really about, you know, closing those gaps in care, making sure that the patient's getting, you know, a consistent message and that everyone's on the same page.
Okay, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. You know, it sounds like it has the potential to really improve people's health and well-being.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, it sounds like value-based care has a lot of potential benefits, for patients, for the healthcare system.
Totally, yeah.
But I imagine there are also some challenges with implementing something this big and this complicated.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So let's kind of dig into that a little bit. Like, what are some of the potential downsides of value-based care that people should be aware of?
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest challenges is just, like the system isn't really set up to support value-based care very well right now. Like a lot of providers, they just don't have the infrastructure, the technology, the resources,
It's a big change
Yeah, it's a big change
from
right
the
now.
way they've been doing things.
Totally. Yeah, and so like imagine, like a small rural clinic, for example, that's trying to track all these complex quality metrics, but they don't have like good IT support. It's just, it's a recipe for disaster.
Totally. And also, and I know that, a lot of our sources mentioned kind of the administrative burden of value-based care, like all the reporting and the data collection and all of that. It takes time and energy.
It does. It takes time and energy. And sometimes that time and energy is taken away from, actually seeing patients. So it's a tough balance to strike.
Right. So it's like, we want to make sure that the system is working well, but we also don't want to, overload healthcare providers with so much paperwork that they can't actually, focus
Yeah,
on their patients.
exactly. Yeah.
Okay, and then there's also something that we talked about a lot is this potential for disparities, right? Like if this isn't done carefully,
Yeah.
it could actually end up kind of hurting certain patient populations.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like if value-based care programs aren't designed really thoughtfully, they could actually end up penalizing providers who serve disadvantaged populations.
Bro.
Right, because those patients, they often face greater health challenges, they require more resources, and that could make it harder for their providers to like meet certain quality metrics.
And so they could get penalized,
Yeah.
even though it's not really their fault.
Exactly.
So it's really important to, make sure that these programs are designed in a way that accounts for those differences.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, given all of these challenges, it's a big undertaking. Like, what are some of the things that could be done to kind of like help make this transition smoother and help ensure that value-based care is actually successful?
Yeah, so I think, a lot of it comes down to like providing the right support to providers, giving them the resources that they need.
Like what kinds of things?
Yeah, so I mean, things like, updated IT systems, giving them training on these new care models, and then also like financial incentives that really reward quality improvement.
Right, so they're not being penalized for, taking care of sicker patients.
Exactly. You want to reward them for actually improving the health of their patients.
That makes sense. Well, so I think, we've covered a lot of ground here. We've
Yeah.
talked about, kind of the what and the why of value-based healthcare, the different approaches, the potential benefits and drawbacks. I guess like as we kind of wrap up this deep dive, what would you say is like the key takeaway for our listeners? What should they be th thinking about as they, kind of navigate this changing healthcare landscape?
Yeah, I mean, I think the main takeaway is that, healthcare is changing.
It is.
And it's changing in a way that could be really, really good for patients. Value-based care, while it does have some challenges, like we talked about, it really holds a lot of promise for improving patient outcomes, for potentially lowering costs, and really for creating a more equitable healthcare system.
I think that's a really great point.
Yeah.
It's a journey. It's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah.
It's complex. But the fact that people are working on this and thinking about these issues and really trying to move the system in a direction that's more patient-centered, I think is a really positive thing.
Yeah, I agree.
So I hope this has been helpful for everyone
I
listening
so too.
to kind of understand, what value-based healthcare is all about, why it's important and kind of what to look out for, in the future.
Yeah.
And as always, we have a bunch of resources in the show notes if you want to learn more about this topic.
Definitely.
So thanks for joining us for this deep dive, and we'll catch you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.